Biggest story of the year is usually a tough choice. Not in 2020, in a year of a bitter, divisive, and historic election, in a year of reckoning over systemic racism, the coronavirus beat them all by a lot. How the pandemic played out in the North Country on today's Story of the Day.
Story of the Day is supported by Northern Power and Light, keeping your energy dollars local with green energy made here in the North Country. NPNL.com.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Thursday, December 31st. We almost made it out of 2020. First up, beginning in 2021, more New Yorkers will receive paid sick leave benefits, and some minimum wage workers will see their wages rise under new laws that take effect. Karen DeWitt has the summary.
The new law guarantees at least 5 days of sick leave. Large and medium businesses must pay their employees if they are out because of their own illness or to care for a sick family member. Earlier this year, Governor Cuomo authorized pandemic-related sick leave for those New Yorkers who had COVID-19 or were caring for a family member stricken by the virus. Paid family leave benefits also increase in the new year. Workers can take up to 12 weeks off to care for a sick family member and receive 2/3 of their regular pay. The state's minimum wage goes up in 2021 as the phase-in to a $15 minimum wage continues. New York City already reached that threshold this year. In Westchester and on Long Island, the minimum wage will rise to $14 an hour, and it will increase to $12.50 an hour for the rest of the state. And finally, thruway tolls will be higher for those without an electronic tag reader EasyPass. They will increase by 30%. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
So this morning on the 8 o'clock hour, Emily Russell, Monica Sandreski, and I talked about how the coronavirus played out in the North Country this year and changed everything. Let's get right to the conversation.
Well, so let's go back before COVID. What was the news back in February, let's say?
Yeah, the Democratic primary in South Carolina, that was Joe Biden's first win. You also might remember, Monica, a standoff over an oil pipeline on indigenous land in British Columbia.
Right.
That was a big story we were following. And there was a big snow on the Tug Hill Plateau. Of course, not really big news there. On March 1st, however, New York State confirmed its first coronavirus case, and that was in the city. 5 days later, we reported that one Jefferson County resident had been tested, not tested positive, just tested for the coronavirus. The whole thing was that new to us.
Yeah. And I remember it was pretty quickly followed by, you know, the first person to test positive. I was down in Glens Falls at that point when the first case was linked to a local pharmacy there. And I remember going around to a bunch of businesses downtown and, you know, sure, people were a little bit spooked, but they were mostly saying that they, you know, weren't going to live in fear. I talked to a mother and daughter downtown. Here's what they said.
Well, we're washing our hands.
I just wash my hands a little bit more.
Exactly.
Try not to touch my face, but I have a really bad habit of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still hugging and shaking hands and, you know, just trying to do, it's not going to let it scare me.
It's so crazy, Emily, just to listen back and just hear how much none of us knew about masks, about indoor versus outdoor gatherings, about how much our daily lives were just about to totally change. And can you each tell us what that moment was for you when you knew that our lives were just about to change so profoundly?
Oh my gosh. For me, the day it all changed was Wednesday, March 11th. That was the day that the SUNY schools across the North Country and St. Lawrence University in Canton sent all their students home for the semester. There was like thousands of people. And that was when it really hit me like, wow, our lives are about to shut down. And sure enough, that Friday, the public schools all closed and sent the kids home and we were on lockdown.
Yeah, I felt like it didn't really become real to me until I saw, you know, the actual impact of this. My moment was a couple of weeks after that. That's when Governor Cuomo issued this New York on pause order. I was living in downtown Plattsburgh at the time, and all of a sudden, like, everything was closed. You know, businesses, restaurants, gyms, every place had a closed sign on the storefront. It was just, you know, I felt like it was not going to be the same for weeks or months after that.
Yeah. And it's easy to forget like some of all the crazy moments and kind of the panic sometimes from, you know, those months of lockdown. Or, you know, remember when you couldn't get toilet paper, all the shelves were empty. You know, we also had this crazy thing where farmers in the North Country were dumping milk because all the pizza places and other restaurants that serve cheese had closed and the market had collapsed. You know, and then later, remember all the fretting over whether summer camps were going to open? It was really such uncharted territory for all of us.
Well, and here in the North Country, maybe the most dramatic part of the pandemic we've followed is just how much it's hurt people economically. I mean, this is already a tough place to make a living. How were people doing?
Yeah, you really can't understate how difficult this has been for so many people. You know, at the beginning, people were waiting for hours and days to just to sign up for unemployment. You know, that was a real low light for state government. What sticks out for me, though, is how hard this pandemic has been for working parents. You know, it really exposed how short the region is on childcare. And we spent months reporting on what experts call a childcare desert up here in the North Country. And so what was happening, parents were having to go back to work, but, you know, this is after the lockdown, but their kids were home for remote learning from school. Amy Fireisel talked with Sierra Wade Ganak recently. She's a single mom who can't find childcare. She's running out of sick time at work, and she's going to have to take a leave of absence to stay at home with her kids if school doesn't go back to in-person classes.
I'm not going to get paid. So, I mean, I'm going to have to, when that time comes, I'm going to have to figure something else out. I don't know what that will be, but I guess I'm just going to have to cross that bridge when I get to it.
Yeah, we know so many parents were and are still in that really, really tough spot, you know, choosing, you know, not to go to work or struggling to just find childcare. It's been also a really hard year, we know, for students. We talked to a bunch of seniors earlier this spring around the North Country, and it was just really heartbreaking to hear how things like senior trips and senior proms had to be canceled. I talked to Parker Bridge. She was just about to graduate from Glens Falls High School, and they had this really small in-person graduation for seniors.
My mom won't get to physically be there to see me walk across stage. And I know that's something that's always been a big thing to her, was having me graduate. She's doing her best to support me as much as she can throughout all of this, but I just want her to be able to be there to see me.
And, you know, just these hard times at any time, whether it's the pandemic or a big blizzard, I mean, these hard times really bring out the best and the worst in life. And we heard that from people all across the North Country.
Absolutely. And, you know, on the worst side, you know, I think something that we will all remember about 2020 is the lost time. You know, the sense that coronavirus has stolen our cherished moments with loved ones who we couldn't be with for so long because we didn't want to transmit the virus. You know, this was especially painful for people who lost loved ones due to COVID in a nursing home or in a hospital, and they weren't allowed to visit them in their last, you know, moments and days, you know, but also for families who just didn't have much time left. Gina LeClaire of Moreau told Doyle Dean about her last days before her mother died from a non-coronavirus illness.
She said to me a few times, I wonder if the diner in Jay is open. There's a little diner there, and her and I had been going there. We'd go up and we'd go to the diner. And I'd say to her, oh, Mom, the diner was closed. We can't. And it really bothered me that I was losing the ability to spend time with her. I'm sorry. But the most important thing is that she gets to have her life to the end as she wanted it, and I would never do anything that would cause her to suffer.
It's amazing how strong people have had to be during this time. You know, we've also heard from people who have made things work and created joy for themselves and their families, you know, done things to keep themselves connected and happy, like organizing car parades for teachers, you know, making bird feeders for their friends. We've heard from so many folks around the North Country that have done little things like this just to make themselves happy. One of my favorites was from this father-daughter duo in Peru in the Champlain Valley. They built what they called a victory garden together this summer. it couldn't actually be, you know, inside close together. So they did something together outside.
So he's hoeing a shallow row for the carrots.
Yeah, this way we can maintain a safe 6-foot distance. I wouldn't want you any closer to me than that anyway.
Well, and last summer, as we reopened, our COVID-19 numbers were so low, and a lot of times in life felt normal. And now we've been carrying that normalcy into the fall and winter, and it's sort of we're sort of in hybrid mode right now with lots of places still open, but we're dealing with this big second wave of cases.
Yeah, it's really more than a second wave. You know, I think a huge thing for all of us to remember is that, you know, last spring we were fretting when, you know, community spread was declared of the virus and there were like 6 cases total in a county. You know, now we're seeing a couple hundred cases a day in the North Country. You know, we would have been freaked out by those numbers last spring.
Yeah, it's really put everything into perspective, really looking back where we started and where we are. You know, there's really this kind of new scary normal every couple of weeks. It's a couple hundred cases a day now. And, you know, where will it be a couple of weeks from now? You know, we do know hospitals are better at treating COVID-19, but we also know the virus, you know, is spreading faster than it ever has before. More people are getting sick and more people are dying.
That's Adirondack reporter Emily Russell, 8 o'clock hour co-host Monica Sandreski, and I talking about 2020, the year of COVID. You can find the latest news throughout this holiday weekend at ncpr.org. Tomorrow's Story of the Day takes a holiday, so we'll be back in 2021. I wish you and yours a safe and healthy and hopefully happy new year. Music today by Chris Watts and Danny Thomas, both of Canton. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.